That hymn is very appropriate for what I'll be speaking on today. If I ask you to turn to the Royal Psalm, what would you turn to? Psalm 18, David's Psalm. It's sometimes called the Royal Psalm because it recounts the preservation of God to David, the king that God had established, that the line through David, ultimately Christ would come. And so it's a recounting of God with his man to David's own personal account. Psalm 18. Turn to it. I'm just going to read just the beginning portion, then I'll pray. I'm just going to read the first 2.5 verses. David says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Amen. Let me pray. Father, like David, we say, I love thee, O Lord, my God, my strength. Blessed be your name. Give your word in fresh power and grace and help to all of us. Arrest the attention of the children. Shepherd your flock, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. Glory to God today and forever. Amen. We're coming to the end of 2015. Only 4 days left. And those of you who have been in the church for a few years realize that it's the end of the year, and somehow I always do this. I'm not sure how it started, but I like to do a reflections on the year. What will you remember most from this past year? I want you to give some thought to that today. Let your mind, let your heart look back at the kindnesses of God in your life. So before we get ready to launch into 2016, everybody gets in too big a hurry. Be still. Hang on. It's beneficial for you and I to pause and to reflect on the year that has just occurred. We ought to remember and contemplate things. It's very important for you. It's important for you in the faith. It's important for anybody in the Lord to remember things. We're not good at journaling, but in our own way, we need to be better at remembering. Christians that have gone before us were very good about reflecting and recording things in their life, weren't they? When you read biographies, and you sometimes think, how was this preserved? And they wrote things in those letters and journals and diaries. It's incredible. David did this all the time in the Psalms, right? David is just giving you, you know, event after event, moment after moment in his life. Struggle and victories. So he did it all the time. And as you begin this royal psalm, David declares, boom, 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 item after item, what God is for him and to him. David declares that God is his strength, his rock, his fortress, his deliverer, his horn of his salvation, and his buckler or his shield. Those are just six of them. I would like to use those six today. And these truths of David, what God was to him, speak to the everyday events of our lives, don't they? Different times and seasons, different events, different things, but these touch on any Christian's life. The struggles, the relationships, the joys, the hardships, the travels, the breakthroughs, and the mercies of God all the way. Every Christian at some level has this. It is the reality of the Christian life. And that God is with his children. So today I would like for us to reflect back on 2015. And as one of your elders, I would like to touch on this in your lives. Any of these brothers, Jeff or Lee or Matt, could do this. Perhaps they should take this over and do this in the coming years. But we do it, I do it, in a way we've been laughingly calling it through the years, a way of holy meddling, looking into the lives of God's people and just capturing a glimpse of something you've been through. But you can be sure that it comes from a heart of love and a desire to encourage you or to strengthen your hands in God. But as a starting point, I'd like to take a sweeping glance at the events across the world during 2015. This could go on and on, right? I could go on for a couple hours just on this. But it's important to see some things and then let that lead us to what we've been through. The world does not and cannot say what David said. Only a Christian says what David said in Psalm 18. You do your own research of what the events of 2015 and see if you can find any testimonies like David. CNN doesn't have it. And all the other major networks, they won't speak of the glory of Jesus Christ, the Lord, who I love, my strength. But we speak of that because it's real. But let me read through some of these events and you will see what I'm saying. That things are happening, things have been happening. Many, many are tragic and overwhelming at times. So let me start. Tragedies and violence. Unbelievable, really, the volume. It really began, in a sense, in January when in France has been brought into the world of terrorism. Welcome to the world of terrorism, France. It's going on. It's all over the world. Senseless killings started at the office of a French magazine in January. You may remember that. Staff from a, I don't remember if it was a liberal magazine or what it was, but all of a sudden there was killings. And that was only the beginning of France's woes. And I'm not picking on France, I'm just saying that it's all over the world. Senseless murdering, killing in the name of false gods and wicked ideology. Then in November, the Paris attacks occurred where, what's going on here? Hundreds of citizens were killed. And it became the national story for several days. Tragedies and violence. Then in April, natural disaster in Nepal. You remember that? There was a major earthquake that hit in Nepal and devastated many. There were ministries, even some that we were able to be a part of and supporting, that went to help take the gospel, take love and needs and medical attention to them. How about the ongoing tragedy of the Syrian refugees? Where are they to go? What, you talk about a dilemma. So that's an ongoing story. Tragedy and violence and confusion. And then in December, roughly 4 weeks ago, California, you remember, shootings, which proved to be a terrorist attack. Killings, unnecessary killings. And people that were just cut off. We must remember our life is a vapor, but our Savior is forever. If we get cut off, let's be honest about this. Where are we going? What are we living for? What are we going to die for? The Christian has everything to live for and everything to die for. Ultimately, David says that in numerous Psalms. So, tragedy, violence. How about social upheaval and chaos? Social chaos, confusion, darkness, wickedness, wretched behavior. In the name of choice? Come on. Social upheaval. Racism and anger and hatred is continuing to ravish America at all different levels. Small town America, major city America. The Baltimore riots. You remember the ongoing riots that occurred in Baltimore during the months of April and May. And you would see scenes and it would kind of take me back to my boyhood in the 60s of things that were happening. You know, the protest against things and the struggles between racial conflicts. It's just ongoing, sad. The gospel should cut through all of that. Then we had the same kind of outburst in Ferguson, Missouri during the month of August. Anger and such, frustration that was built up. And it explodes in all kinds of social upheaval. And then even at the social level or at the cultural level, the ongoing story about Bill Cosby is tragic. Who knows really what has happened, but a group of women that have spoken out against Bill Cosby of years of abusive behavior, conduct. God have mercy on such things. And then June 26th. Anybody remember what happened on June 26th? It's one of the saddest days of my 54 years. The Supreme Court of the United States approved same-sex marriages. And when I heard it on the radio, I had tears. And when I came to a stopping point, I pulled off to the road and I texted my four grown children and I said, "From your father, this is one of the saddest days I've ever lived to see happen. The approval of same-sex marriages. The Bible stands. God will not be mocked. God has created male and female in His image." Unbelievable. And then the White House, in the shame of our president and others, puts rainbow lights on the outside of the White House. Shameful, dishonoring, disgusting. Former presidents, who, if they came out of the grave, would say, "What is going on around here?" The normalizing of conduct that is so wrong. Unbelievable. Children, listen to me. Woe to those people who call evil good, but call good evil. Be careful with who you listen to. And then when you thought it couldn't get worse, an Olympic icon in my early teenage years, Bruce Jenner, goes into the utter confusion. Am I a man or am I a woman? Lord Jesus, come in our land. Have mercy. Such darkness. You see, you hear these things? Then there were winners of corruptible crowns. Winners and losers, right? The New England Patriots won another Super Bowl. Whoop-de-doo, right? Yes, thank you. But they carry the dubious honor that for some reason they took air out of footballs. I don't get it. I didn't study it. It just was on the news for a long time. Hey, guys, if you're really that good, leave the footballs alone. Just go out there and win. How about it? It's ridiculous. The U.S. women won the World Cup. For those who love soccer. American Pharoah. Who was American Pharoah? It's a horse. Won the Triple Crown the first time since a lot of you in this room were ever born. 1978 is the last time Triple Crown was won. And American Pharoah won it. And then there's a young guy that loves to chew his mouthpiece and can he shoot hoops. They won the NBA title. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Loves to chew on his mouthpiece. Steph Curry. The Golden State Warriors. I will have to admit, the guy can shoot the ball. My, oh my. Don't challenge him in a game of horse. You're in trouble. Apparently he and his dad still play horse. That's funny. They go at it. Those who died, and let me finish these. It is kind of amazing to see who's passed and how major media or even secondary stories want to cover certain people who passed away. Jim Wright. Anybody remember Jim Wright? Former Speaker of the House. He's from Fort Worth, Texas. And he's probably most famous to all of us locally for the Wright Amendment, which said for years that flights from from Love Field couldn't go directly to other states or however that worked. That bill has now ceased. B.B. King, the famous blues musician, passed away. Dean Smith, the very famous coach from North Carolina, as I remember hearing about it, apparently he left a letter and a check to every one of his former players, an expression of his love and appreciation for them, and money, a small amount of money. John Nash, who's that, Jeff? The mathematician, right? John Nash and his wife were killed in a car wreck. John Nash didn't know Jesus Christ. He knows Him now in eternal judgment. Leonard Nimoy. Who in the world is Leonard Nimoy? Don't smile, Marisa. Who was he? Spock. Star Trek. I can claim I stayed away from that mess from this size to this size. Not sure what's going on with all that stuff. But he passed away. Emma Didlake. Anybody heard of Emma Didlake? The oldest veteran in the United States. 110 years old. She died this year. You'll see pictures of her with the president. When she was 38 years old, she enrolled for World War II and helped in a women's support group as a part of the United States military. Emma Didlake passed away. And Yogi Berra. Perhaps the passing of a legend or a time period of baseball guys, but he's also known for his funny quotes, right? Lots of funny quotes you'll still hear to this day that go to Yogi Berra. Well, that's world events. And those have come and gone and they speak certain things to us. But let me get into the events of our life. David speaks of what God is to him, what God was to him. And we could go around the room. We could just turn this off and go around the room. And we could speak one at a time. Sister, brother, speak, testify. And I'd like to just touch on these six areas of what David had said. Six of these areas. First, the Lord is my strength. Go home, all of you, and think on these six areas. Give it some thought. Be reflective on these truths for you. I'm only going to touch on a few things, but time would go too long if I tried to get too extensive. God is the strength of every Christian. God is our strength. He gives constant support, right? He gives constant renewing grace, renews us in His grace. He sheds abroad grace and help and strength. And He gives joy in the journey. The Christian life is not a boring life. The Christian life is not a life of misery and ritual and dead works. The Christian life is a way to life and strength and joy. And for some of you, this strength and joy was right in your family. Just your family unit. When I think of several of you, Kyle and Jennifer, the joy of twins coming. Twins. What a thing. Just last fall, you were married. This fall, you hear one day, you're going to have twins. It was great joy, the thought, the reality of what God is doing. Bryce and Aaron, they're not here today. They're back in Indiana. But Bryce and Aaron have had new days here, new days of strength in Texas, in the will of God. A new home, new work, new church, new joys, because Christ is with them. Alan and Legia, the kindness of God in putting you here, and the blessing of the closeness to God's people. The providence of God of Legia meeting Tommy Price and everything that came from that. If you haven't heard the story, you need to ask him. You need to ask Tommy today. Of God leading them, giving strength. Here they are. This is not their native state. This is not their native land. And yet God gives them people and friends and brethren in the land that He's put them in here in Texas. In the providence of God, they moved to Providence, Texas and joined Providence Chapel. I'd say God has been providentially good to them. Jeff and Tommy. Many things come to my mind. The blessing of another son, little Zachary. The joy of that. The joy of children, the joy of home, the joy of our little ones. Seeing them grow up, seeing them each in their own way. But it's a part of God giving strength to you, Tommy, as a mom, and Jeff as a dad. John and Kathy, the joy of a new daughter. All right, boys, move over. I know what it was like to be an older brother, and here comes a little sister. Julianne is here. What a gift of God. What kindness. And it was quite a thing for us to look into this and watch this occur. See some of your emails, and this is going to happen, or we're planning this and praying towards this. That's God. He's your strength. He's your joy. Nathaniel and Caitlin. I'm not sure they're here today, right? There she is. K plus one, who I like to call K plus two now. Nathaniel and Caitlin, the joy of a new daughter, Catherine. And the build up to that and the birth of Catherine and the joy. Yeah, and a few of those others back there were kind of excited too. But mom and dad, the joy, and to see that on your face. I have to say this, these other older folks like me have to, when we see that, it brings back memories. I'll go back home afterwards and I'll say things to Krista. Do you remember? Did you see on their face? Or it does. It stirs your heart. God is good. Yes, God gives strength in our families in raising children. We need it, don't we? Your parents are going to need it. You're going to need it. Parenting is a marathon. Parenting takes great, steadfast hope in God and trusting Him. And yet He gives strength. Second, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my rock. What a statement that is. Yes, our great Savior Jesus Christ is our foundation. He is our rock. He is our anchor. He is our place of stability. right? One of those mornings, the children that quoted the verse, "He that heareth my words and doeth them is like a wise man that builds his house upon a rock." That's what Jesus said. He is our rock. Each of us learn this in daily life, don't we? Have you learned that Jesus Christ is the rock this year? Yes, you have. I have. R.C. Sproul has. Johnny Erickson Tada has more and more. You follow me? Every Christian in every part of the world in their own way is being taught or brought more and more along in Christ and that He is the rock. Jeff very well said earlier in the study, we can do nothing of ourselves. Everything comes from Him. He is our strength. He is our rock. We learn it. We walk in it. Lee and Amber went through things this year. The death of his father. You have to go into things like that and you have to say, "Oh Lord Jesus, my life is yours." You feel things and go through things. Amber's been through much with her mom. And yet Christ is the rock. Loving others, speaking to others, ministering to others. And Lee and Amber about it all the time. Every day, every week. Continue on with Christ your rock. Michael and April Hamilton. Michael lost his grandfather this year, and that was a hard thing. I don't think I fully appreciated it until I got a little bit more insight into it. The death of his grandfather and April's health struggles, lots of ups and downs and frailty and hard days, hard weeks. Christ is our rock. He is our strength. My own dear wife, the days I would see her so tired from ministry to so many others, giving out, giving out, giving out. And at times, I'd do anything to help her, to try to increase, even give more strength. But Christ is her rock. What can I do for my wife? I can pray for her and I can encourage her on in Him. She has an infinitely greater husband than me. It's Christ, her rock. Valerie, getting to know you, sharing. Parenting alone in these days. Parenting daughters and young sons and loving them and nurturing them and teaching them, guiding them, trying to aim them and bring them up in Christ, teaching them of Him, that He is their hope, the one they should look to. Christ is your rock and may He be, children, your rock in the days to come. Listen, learn, grow. Let Christ be your all in all. Brother Jake, Christ is your rock. In your work and in your activities, in your serving others. Brother, you're growing. Just keep going with Him. Let Him build you as a man built for the kingdom of God. He is our rock. Carl and Marianne, I wanted them to be here, but I knew if they were, I'd probably break on theirs. I didn't know if I could hold up. But Carl and Marianne Ray, precious brethren with many years, many testimonies of the grace of God, what God has done. What Christ has done for them, in them, through them, for them, through the decades. Oh my. They feel very frail. We see that upon them. We understand to a certain measure that what they're going through. But Christ is their solid rock, is He not? They will testify that today and soon to be when they're with Him forever, whatever that means. God may give them 10, 20 more years. You never know. But Christ, in their frailty or in their strength, is their rock. The hymn writer said it well, didn't he? Jesus is a rock in a weary land. All of us, in our own way, could go back through and fill in the blank. Where has Christ been your rock this year? Number three, the Lord is my fortress. First, He's my strength. He brings strength. He lifts me up, encourages me, comes and sheds abroad His love. He strengthens me. He brings joy. He brings encouragement when I need it. He is my rock. He's what I stand on, what I live on. I build everything that I'm about on Him. Third, He's my fortress. You with this? It's a picture. He's around about me. He is my protector. He's my shelter. He's my guard. We have no idea what we've been kept from at times, but He's with us. He's our fortress. Lay hold of these. Speak with these terms. God has been my fortress. Here's how He's done these things in my life. We all have much to share and testify in this category. Leslie's been through a lot. And I told her and the kids earlier in the month, I said, I'm only let you know what I'm going to speak of on this day. It's going to be out of Psalm 18. Because when God, I felt like, began to give me these truths, encourage me in these truths, I want there to be a theme text that's real to us. And I was with them like the next day or something like that. And we were talking on the hard things they're going through. What Nathan's been through, what Claire's going through. But Jesus Christ is your fortress. He is your protector. He is your guard. Look to Him. We look to Him with you. Stephen and Kathy, the challenge of starting new work. I mean, you're in a sense, you're stepping out into very thin air, aren't you? By faith. Kathy has to walk with you with faith. You have to walk before your children in faith. You have to believe God is my fortress. He is your fortress. He is your place of shelter. God will take care of you. David said, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his children begging bread. God will take care of you and that family, your children. So look to Him. Let that be a theme verse maybe for you in these coming days. Lord, you said you'll be my fortress. I'm looking to you. Ron and Karen Pulaski. They're not here today, right? Can you find more precious brethren in the earth just to know and love and be with than Ron and Karen Pulaski? You talk about choice brethren. Ron ministering to that little flock out in Allison. Teaching them, loving them, pastoring them, now helping them with the building and things. Brother Ron walks before us men as an example. Let's learn from him. Christ is his fortress. Ron, in a similar way to Brother Carl Ray, could testify in the decades. If I said, Brother Ron, tell me in the 60s how God was your fortress. Ron Pulaski could probably recount the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. Incredible. Wonderful. Ron and Janet, one of my flashbacks, my favorite moments, was when Jeff and I got to make that first trip out to your place and be with the family. And just to hear, in your own words, I said, Ron, and I said, Janet, share for us just your journey, God's grace in your life, when it began, when He brought you into Himself, His salvation. And you begin to recount. And I just remember us, Jeff, you and I just sitting there. And they start going through the story of God's your fortress. He came. He saved. And all of your path to this day, He has been your protector, your shelter. And it spoke to me, and I, probably Jeff and I can't remember exactly how we talked to going home, but and I thought of your children hearing that. And our children need to hear that. Dads, moms need to hear us speak of what God's done, what He does in our lives. Weekly, daily, testify of what He's done. And Ron and Janet have done that for many years and encourages the hearts of others. For myself, I could have put myself in any of these six categories, but I put myself here. The Lord is my fortress. In April, reading the first volume of George Whitfield biography, and then in this fall, reading the Hudson Taylor and Maria biography, short biography, had such a profound help and encouragement to me. To read and be built up and to see the works of our great God and Savior in their lives. He doesn't change. Our Savior is forever reigning. He's here today. He's with us. He's magnifying His name. And so when I was reading about Whitfield in his 20s and then Hudson Taylor in his 20s, how many young guys do we have in here in their 20s? Any? We've got the late teens and we've got some of their 30s. We've got the... All right, so... You see that God is not just picking a certain age at a certain time. God will do great things with your life. And that's what I learned in reading about Whitfield and Hudson Taylor. It spoke to me to believe God to use my life for His name's sake. Trust Him, saints. He loves to show Himself upon our lives and to magnify His glory, His Son. God is our fortress. He's our strength. He's our rock. He's our fortress. Number four, The Lord is my deliverer. Anybody been delivered from anything this year? Could have been just this weekend. Disappointment, discouragement, heartache, financial crisis, medical news or whatever. But God is our deliverer. He brings you through trials and hurts and struggles. The first two pages of my notes speak of people in the world that don't testify this. At least most all of them that I read. I don't know their details of their lives. Yogi Berra never talked about Jesus Christ. I know that. If he did, I'd like to hear the material on it. I have never heard it. You get my point? What else do we have to tell people about? He is my deliverer. He is my strength. He is my rock. He is my fortress. David declared it to the world. David's the most read, arguably poetic language read in the world today and tomorrow and this week is David. Think about that. English majors, literature majors. Because he has something that lasts. He has a God that's forever, changes not. My deliverer. We've all have certain trials and hurts and struggles. I could have put us all in this category to a certain extent. You'll have to fill in the blank as you reflect back. I told Krista last night, I've got to check the A to Z list of the whole church one more time to make sure I think I've got everybody. But in this one, we could all say he's been my deliverer. Tom and Kathy Allison. They're not here today, but maybe he'll get to hear this. They've had some hard weeks and hard months with extended family, children, or just family relationships. Challenging, hard, painful. And then Tom's knee surgery. Praise be to God for the ability to have some help on that knee. Aren't you grateful for those things that help you physically, just help your physical man? Tom desperately needed that knee helped. And the VA and all that whole thing was just dragging out. He wasn't getting anywhere. It's getting to the point where he couldn't walk anymore. And God in his kindness sent a fresh word through another source, and here we are 2 weeks later, and Tom has had that first knee worked on. In a sense, true sense, God is his deliverer right there. Tom and Betty, things you feel, things that you're desiring God to break through, where there's hurts, where there's burdens. Sometimes we carry these things for a long time. Your burdens for Joel, your burden for his life, your burden for his life to count for something in the kingdom. Others that you know, others that you care for, and others that you sow gospel truth to. But we cannot grow weary in well-doing. We cannot expect a certain time by a certain place that God has to do it. God will do it in His way for His glory. We don't know when the deliverance comes. That's one of the real things about the Christian life, isn't it? Wait upon the Lord. The psalmist preaching to himself, my soul, wait thou upon God. Wait upon the Lord. He shall deliver. He'll come. He'll come in His right time. The things that Tom and Betty feel, God knows. Look to Him. Nick Wheeler. Some days, some weeks are rough. Struggles, disappointments, heavinesses. Brother, you learn that Jesus Christ is the most glorious deliverer there is. Look to Him. He will not fail. The God of Whitfield and the God of Hudson Taylor and the God of Martin Lloyd Jones is our God, our Savior. He's with you. He will show Himself strong. He's continuing to show Himself strong. He is a deliverer today, tomorrow, this week, and what's ahead. We don't know what's ahead. We don't have to plan what's ahead. But we can know this. He will deliver for His name's sake. So many Christians, countless amount of Christians through the centuries will testify this. The deliverances of God. Maria feels these heavy things, struggles, lonelinesses at certain times. So she has to continue to look to God for tender mercy, for deliverances today, if that is, or tomorrow. Days of difficulty. Cast your burdens upon Him. He cares for you. Look to Him. Trust in Him. Beloved, the Lord will show Himself strong to those who put their trust in Him. He loves to show Himself strong. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro, it says, throughout the whole earth. He will come. He will show Himself strong. Every Christian who's walked at any length of time in the Christian faith testifies of this. He is my deliverer. Number five, the Lord is the horn of my salvation. Now, this is a unique one, isn't it? I don't know what your footnotes, what translation you're in, but I had to grapple with this a little bit. The horn of my salvation. Hey, Kyle, Jennifer, what is the horn of my salvation? You see, he's speaking in a language here of God coming that means he is my warrior, that God moves and God triumphs. God didn't just sit around waiting for petty little prayers and formal little actions or conduct. God is a warrior for those who trust in him. He is with us. Again, going back to Whitfield and Hudson Taylor, you look at their life, they should have been snuffed out, humanly speaking, much earlier, particularly Hudson Taylor. I mean, I say that for Whitfield too. He had enemies. He had men that hated him, pronouncing the gospel with such authority and such boldness. But Hudson Taylor, how does a man live through that? God is the horn of his salvation. Wonderful, wonderful truth. Do you have times where God comes and triumphs? He arises, if you will. Lord, if you don't do it, it can't happen. It won't happen. You must arise. Let God arise. Let him come. Let him triumph. Let him show himself strong. Lord, your arm is not shortened that you cannot save. Beloved saints, he doesn't leave you to fend for yourself. Oftentimes, he gets us to our point where we have nothing of our own strength, and that's his favorite time to come in such glory and strength. But it's undeniable that he does it, that he did it. All of us could speak of times of triumph this past year. Jared and Joanne, am I going to go or am I going to stay? Where are they? Who owns that company? The Lord God. Jared had to, and Joanne, the family, had to just kind of hang in limbo about the work and where's it going? Is he moving off and how's that going to play out? And there he is right there. That God ruled in it all. God is his triumph. God is his strength. God is his exceeding and great reward, right? God is their joy. He's the horn of their salvation. How about Nick Hansen? I wish he was right here today. Nick Hansen, laboring, trusting God with his outreach to others, particularly what he does at the abortion clinic. And Nick continuing to sow the gospel, speaking with love to expectant mothers who are going to kill their children. That's what happens at abortion. And yet Nick is going in with a loving heart to try to speak to them and beseech them, don't do it, don't do that. And periodically we get testimonies where God, the horn of his salvation, arises and a woman is impacted. She begins to hear something's happening. The heart is stirred. A child is saved. The gospel is sounded. Nick could fill in the blanks in a lot of ways that I have no idea what he's been through. Jonathan and Elena. God is the horn of their salvation. They have had some very hard days, weeks, and now we could even say months. These have been some hard days with family, extended family. But God is the horn of their salvation. God shows himself strong on their behalf. And therefore they are learning to trust in him, walking by faith, not by sight, believing him. It is the Christian life, beloved. We don't just read these things about David or we read about the struggles and the different men, different times, and we just go, well, that was different back in their day. It's real. It's heavy. There's days where you feel about this big, right? And God comes. I was driving into work. I just did some partial days this week. And I was battling this head cold and all. Last Sunday, I was in the early phase of battling. And I went in Monday. And by then, Monday wasn't really got the worst of me. And I'm hanging on. And by Tuesday, and you just feel rotten, right? You feel, okay, we're physical men. We're physical human beings. But I needed fresh help and strength. And driving into work, unexplainable other than Jesus Christ loves to show himself near and helpful. And I just got carried away driving by myself in my car on the way to work. It was full of joy and help. Yes, I had felt still weak, but the spiritual man just took off. I said, maybe this is what Hudson Taylor is trying to tell me. Philip, lay hold of these things. We live in such temporary things too much. I want to arise. I want to run with Him. I want to run after Him. Don't you? He is the horn of our salvation. What Jonathan and Elena have gone through, or what Jared and Joanne have been through, He'll carry us. He'll triumph. Brother Jonathan Thompson, keep learning about your great one, the horn of your salvation. And keep learning to wait on God's timing, His timing, the things you long for, the things that you desire for Him to do. Keep looking to Him. He will come. He will triumph. He will show Himself tender and merciful and helpful, whether it be about a son that you love so much, or other people, or other things. Trust God. Yes, to all of us, wait on the Lord, and He will triumph gloriously. Number 6. The Lord is my buckler, what it says in the King James. You could also say the Lord is my shield. We've got quite a picture going here, don't we? He's my strength. Now we get to the point where He's my shield. He's my warrior. He's my protection, my fortress. He is my shield. This means in the day-to-day living of the Christian life, He is a provider, our leader, and our keeper. That's one way of putting it. He is the shield. We're facing things. Things are happening around us. I would have men today that would be violently angry at what I said about rainbow colors on the White House, or that Jesus Christ never fails, or that He lives forever. They would want to hear those truths. But He is our shield. He is the reality of what we face and where we're going and what we're living through. He's with us. We don't hold back. We don't speak with arrogance or hatred. We speak with love and beseech Him, but we speak the truth. Bruce Jenner needs Jesus Christ. And then everything begins to become clear. Everything. Miley Cyrus, 2 years ago, whenever I was had her on my list, she needs Jesus Christ. You hear me? All men need Jesus Christ. Yogi Berra, Dean Smith, Emma Didlake. Doesn't matter. Christ is everything. He's the all in all, and therefore He is our shield. He's the Christian shield. How couldn't a man speak of Christ as the preeminent one? He has to. He must. Because He is our daily bread, our daily strength. He keeps us. We grow weary, don't we? And we need the daily provider and helper. David and Ebony, when I flash back on some of my home visits, we're tired. Long days, kids, heavy things. It's the joys and the drains of life. Yes, they're real. They're real in what we face. But Christ is with you. He's your shield. Continue just to run with Him. Children, listen to them. Learn from them. Hear them speak of Christ. And may He be, even this week, fresh joy in your home. Eric and Shana, I don't believe they're with us today. Laboring many things on their plate. Oftentimes in the West prayer meetings, they'll share that there's just fatigue, they're drained, they're tired, and yet the full days need a great Savior with a great shield and great help, right? And He does that for them. Whether it be Eric in his work and in his cares around the home, or Shana and the things she's about, as well as their extended ministry to family members that they feel heaviness about. The Lord is our buckler, our shield. Brian and Michelle, internally in your family and outside, He's with you, your shield, your protector, the one who advances what you're about. I thought back of Brian speaking at a funeral, speaking at a wedding, the privilege, speaking of the glories of Christ. What y'all are about with your children, with others, laboring now as a deacon, endeavoring to be fruitful in every good work. Christ is with you. He keeps you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. David and Marisa, so many ways y'all serve others. I only see a little bit of it. I know that. But I know that you're about serving others because Jesus Christ is the great servant, right? And he that's going to be great in the kingdom of God must become a servant of all. And I think our brother and sister over here have lived it, are living it, serving the needs of others. We'll hear about things that you're trying to help with or minister to, ministering within our body. Brother David now is a deacon. And that God is in you, leading you and helping you to serve others. It's him in us, right? It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what's ministering through us. At the end of the Hudson Taylor book, it's not Hudson Taylor I'm mesmerized by. It's Jesus Christ I'm mesmerized by. You read the letters of Samuel Rutherford. It's not Rutherford necessarily you're captivated by. It's the glory of his Savior. You get it? Well, that's why those things are so helpful to us. When I see David and Marisa laboring in the joy of your children around you, it's a blessing. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, right, than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. That's what the scriptures say. Mac and Linda, God is their shield. Lots of ministry near and lots of ministry far. Europe, all those places, God sends Mac all over the place and has and used him. And what a privilege that has been, Linda, getting to go with him this past trip back in October and November. That God is their shield. They can testify, God keeping them, guarding them, giving them strength. Those are long days. Not the best beds, as I remember you sharing, to sleep in. And yet God is their leading, keeping, loving reality. And how could I fail to mention the Conrad Murrell book? It hit me the last night this morning. What an honor to get to write a book about Conrad Murrell and Leonard Ravenhill. Two men that shaped this man, and the fruit of that shaped and helped me and others. And you realize it's God's doing it all. What a mercy. And Kevin and Sherry, whether they're listening today or this week, Kevin and Sherry Willingham, moving. It seemed to be an impossibility, right? Again. To move again. All that she goes through. All of the difficulties and the sickness and the challenges and the hurts. And Brother Kevin and his back and his strength. And Christ is with them, leading them, keeping them. He's their shield. We can't explain how they were able to move. God did the whole thing. He did it. He carried them through it all. It's a picture there, right? It's a picture for all of us. He will lead us. He will guide us. As the hymn writer said, all the way my Savior leads me. Beloved, these are just quick flashes. The realities of the Christian life. They're meant to stir praise to Him, thanksgiving, remembering. So, brethren, as you think today and as you talk as a husband and wife or with your children, go back through, recount the goodness of God in your life. Remember that God has been your strength and He's been your rock, that God has been your fortress, that God has been your deliverer, that He's come and been the horn of your salvation, and that He is your shield. And let it do what it did for David. Let it stir the greatest testimony back to him when David said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Let those words, let that phrase dwell upon our lips the last 4 days of 2015 and the beginning of 2016. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Amen. Let me pray. Father, like David, we can testify of what you've been to us. You've been so good, so gracious, Lord. Who is like unto thee, O Lord among gods? You have carried us through. You've been our strength. You've been our strength all the way. You've been our fortress. You're the horn of our salvation. You've carried us through difficulties. You've carried us through joys. You've given great mercies that are so clear that it's the hand of God. It's your Spirit. It's your nearness. So I pray that your people today would leave with joyful, grateful, humble hearts, that what's left of today in this calendar year would be full of the high praises of God. Let the high praises of God be in our mouth, to love you, to worship you, to declare the glories of your Son. Thank you, Lord. Dismiss us today with fresh joy and thanksgiving to the glory of your name, we ask. Amen.